fried turkey breast with lots of veggies and salad bar.
Welcome to Torah Life Ministries, teaching about the instruction of our Creator and putting His Word into action. From suffering well to living a blessed life, looking forward to the hope and future that awaits true believers of the faith. Welcome to the show and your host, Paul Neeson.
Shalom, brothers and sisters. I find myself in quite a unique situation. I am a Jewish believer in Messiah Yeshua, the one they call Jesus. I follow the Torah to the best of my abilities, thinking it still matters today, while understanding salvation comes only through Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah. Now, where did I develop this idea of being obedient to the Torah, the guidelines and instructions found in the original covenant, but at the same time believing in Yeshua as the Messiah? So when I became a believer, I didn't understand what Christianity was, and even though both my parents are Jewish, I wasn't familiar with Judaism either. They never practiced it. They were very secular. I had to figure things out without being brainwashed by anyone or anything when it comes to the religious system that's out there, because I was never part of it. I wasn't brought up in it. And I remember when I went to the first church I went to, they were teaching a message that didn't go along with the words of Yahshua in the scriptures. And this is part of my testimonial, and this is what I tell people. When they were reading these words about Yeshua, who I accepted recently before that as the Messiah after reading the Gospel of John, and the words spoke to me, and then I went to the church and they weren't teaching what he actually taught. So I had to make a decision. Was I going to follow the words of Yahshua, wonderful Messiah, or was I going to follow that particular church system? Basically, Yeshua taught about obedience and repentance, and he also taught about salvation and the renewed covenant, not just the words of Yeshua, right along with that. And the original covenant, the Torah, was the guidelines and instructions found in Scripture. So I was kind of at a crossroads and a conflict of who is telling the truth and what is happening. And as I continue on my journey, I come to see the problem that many people want to have the blessings that come along with obedience without being obedient. Many people want to make it sound good that they're not responsible for the results they're getting in life, and it becomes quite a confusing message to people that don't really fully understand or study or pray or think about this, because you have many different denominations teaching many different things. And in my studies and my research, I've come to be a strong believer in Yeshua, our wonderful Messiah, while still understanding that sin matters and we should do our best not to go against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Understanding what it means by saying we're not under the law, but that doesn't do away with the so-called law. And understanding these things that a lot of people either brush under the rug or they care not to think about. Well, what has happened is there is the enemy's deception that tries to get people to disbelieve in the scriptures. They want to make Yahshua, the one they call Jesus, be someone besides who the scriptures say he is. And almost bringing him down to the level of, at most, a prophet. Some would say the son of God, but not God himself. But many would say a prophet. And now we're looking at all the other belief systems around the world. Even Islam calls Yahshua a prophet. I do not believe he's a prophet. I think he's a savior and actually our creator. He is God. And when we think about this and we look at the topic, one of the ways the enemy uses, I believe, to divide people and make people doubt scripture is putting grace versus law, but also putting Paul versus Yahshua. And this is what's kind of become popular against New Age teachers today that make it sound like Paul was teaching a different gospel than Yeshua was, a different message. There's a growing claim today, and it's not just today, it's just repackaged today, that says Yeshua preached repentance. Yeshua preached obedience. Yeshua taught the Torah, which is the first five books of the scriptures. Yeshua taught righteousness, mercy, and love. But then Paul supposedly came along and changed everything. He introduced salvation through Yeshua's blood, death, and resurrection. That's what some people are believing out there. In essence, when you wash away all the feelings and emotions, people, when they believe like this or think like this, they're taking Yeshua and making him the same level as maybe the prophets in the scriptures. Some therefore conclude Yeshua preached one gospel and Paul created another. And they come against Paul, and then eventually they lessen who Yeshua is, and now you get New Age religion, or New Age belief systems, or different belief systems. Well, I want to respond to those who argue that Paul added the requirement of accepting Yeshua's death and blood to an earlier message centered upon the repentance and returning to Yahweh. I don't want to worship Paul. He isn't my savior, and he didn't die for my sins. Yeshua died for my sins. If somebody says Paul counteracts Yeshua, I'm perfectly willing to do something very simple. Let's start with Yeshua. Don't begin with Romans. Don't begin with Galatians or Corinthians and try to tear apart the message that Paul was given. The question is, did Paul invent the gospel of the cross? Or was Paul preaching something Yeshua had already taught? That is the question. According to the scriptures I read, Yeshua preached repentance. Absolutely. In Mark 1, 14 and 15. Now after John was taken into custody, Yeshua came into Galilee preaching the good news of Yahweh's kingdom and saying, the time is fulfilled and Yahweh's kingdom is at hand. Repent and believe in the good news. So we see Yeshua absolutely preached repentance. He never taught that we could simply continue living how we want because grace covers everything. In Luke 13:1-3, he says, now there was some present at the same time who told him about the Galileans whose blood Pilate had mixed with their sacrifices. And Yeshua answered them, do you think that these Galatians were worse sinners than all the other Galatians because they suffered such things? I tell you no, but unless you repent, you will all perish the same way. So repentance absolutely matters. In Matthew 7:21-23, he says, not everyone who says to me, Lord, Lord, will enter into the kingdom of heaven, but he who does the will of my Father who is in heaven. Many will tell me in that day, Lord, Lord, didn't we prophesy in your name? In your name cast out demons, and in your name do many mighty works. Then I will tell them, I never knew you. Depart from me, you who work iniquity. So we see obedience matters. Doing the will of our Creator matters. That is Torah, the guidelines and instructions. And I seen that right away when I first became a believer because I'm reading the words of Yeshua. That's where my walk started. When I was reading the Gospel of John, I was so intrigued with him and what he was teaching. But there's a false choice being created when people say Yeshua preached repentance, therefore Yeshua did not preach the cross. The biblical evidence shows that Yeshua taught both. One didn't replace the other, it went along with each other. So when people say grace versus law, no, it's grace with law. And this is many of my teachings that I have there. But when I see Paul, people try to make Paul say he was adding a new gospel and he was adding to the what Yeshua was teaching, their claims are not valid. You know, they say, yeah, Paul, you know, they say Paul claimed that made up this thing about Yeshua giving up his life, and, you know, Yeshua just preach repentance. Well, in Mark 10, verses 42 to 45, it says, Yeshua summoned them and said to them, "You know that they who are recognized as rulers over the nations lord it over them, and the great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you, but whoever wants to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever of you wants to become first among you shall be bondservant of all. For the Son of Man also came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many." Yeshua said he gave his life as ransom for many. That was not Paul speaking, folks. That was Yeshua. In Matthew 20, verses 25 to 28, he says, "But Yeshua summoned them and said, 'You know that the rulers of the nations lord over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. It shall not be so among you, but whoever desires to become great among you shall be your servant. Whoever desires to be first among you shall be your bondservant. Even as the Son of Man came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as ransom for many.'" You see, Yeshua does not describe his death as merely an unfortunate execution. He says his life would be given for others. Before Paul ever preached that Yeshua gave himself for us, Yeshua said he came to give his life for many. And when we look at the full scriptures, which, you know, a lot of Jewish people will not read the Renewed Covenant. They call it the New Testament. And a lot of Christians will not read the Old Testament or the Old Covenant. But it's not two books, it's one book. And just as we saw the significance in Genesis of blood and the life and the importance around blood, we see that and live that out through Yeshua, who connected his blood with forgiveness. In Matthew 26, verses 26 to 28, "As they were eating, Yeshua took bread and gave thanks for it and broke it. He gave it to his disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' He took the cup and gave thanks and gave to them, saying, 'All of you drink it, for this is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many of the remission of sins.'" You see, Yeshua says, "My blood poured out for many for the remission of sins." The connection between Yeshua's blood and forgiveness is not something we first encountered with Paul. It comes directly from Yeshua. And we see again in Exodus 24, verses 7 and 8. We see the connection that we have with Yeshua's words and the Hebraic scriptures in the original covenant. In Exodus 24, 7 and 8, it says, "He took the book of the covenant and read it in the hearing of the people. And they said, 'All that Yahweh has spoken, we will do and be obedient.' Moses took the blood and sprinkled it on the people and said, 'Look, this is the blood of the covenant which Yahweh has made with you concerning all these words.'" The expression of the blood covenant also existed in Torah. Then we look in Jeremiah, who prophesied about the new covenant in Jeremiah 31, verses 31 to 34. Listen to this, folks. He says, "Behold, the days come, says Yahweh, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which covenant of mine they broke, although I was a husband to them, says Yahweh. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says Yahweh. I will put my law in their inward parts, and I will write it in their heart. I will be their God, and they shall be my people. They will no longer each teach his neighbor and every man teach his brother, saying, Know Yahweh, for they will all know me, from their least to the greatest, says Yahweh. For I will forgive their iniquity and I will remember their sin no more. The new covenant includes two important things: Yahweh's instructions written upon our heart and forgiveness of sin. This is not Torah versus grace, folks. Torah is the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. Yeshua came to show us what it is, the living Torah. He didn't live or teach against it. The renewed covenant writes Yahweh's ways upon our heart and provides forgiveness for our rebellion against him. You see, Yeshua preached his death and resurrection. In Mark 8:31-32, he began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders and chief priests and the scribes, to be killed and 3 days rise again. He spoke to them openly. Yeshua himself says the Son of Man must suffer, must be rejected, killed, and rise again. This isn't something Paul made up or added to Yeshua's story. Yeshua was teaching it before the crucifixion even happened. And we see what happened when Peter tried to reject the suffering Messiah in Mark 8:32-34. You see, I want to answer you with scripture. Those of you that claim that Paul was adding to what Yeshua did or had a different gospel, the scriptures do not say that. The scriptures say exactly Paul was teaching what Yeshua taught, not something different. Mark 8:32-34 says, He spoke to them openly. Peter took him and began to rebuke him. But he turned around and, seeing his disciples, rebuked Peter and said, Get behind me, Satan. For you have in mind not the things of God, but the things of man. He called the multitude to himself with his disciples and said to them, Whomever wants to come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Peter resisted the idea of Messiah suffering, and Yeshua strongly rebuked him. Then Yeshua immediately connected his own path of suffering with the life of his disciples. Deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Yeshua's sacrifice does not eliminate discipleship. Yeshua's sacrifice is not an excuse to live against the guidelines and instructions of our Creator. And our discipleship does not eliminate Yeshua's sacrifice. The gospel is not, Yeshua died so I can continue living for myself. Yeshua calls us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow him. Yeshua said in the original covenant, pointed to his suffering. Luke 24:25-27. He said to them, Foolish people, and slow of heart to believe in all that the prophets have spoken. Didn't the Messiah have to suffer these things to enter into his glory? Beginning from Moses and from all the prophets, he explained to them in all the scriptures that things concerning himself. Yeshua takes his disciples back to Moses and the prophets and explains the suffering from the original covenant. The idea that suffering Messiah is therefore not presented is something Paul invented. It's just not true. And this is why I think the enemy is behind this, because he's trying to create this separation. He's trying to lessen the word of our Creator and lessen who Yeshua is. Salvation comes through Yeshua, not through works. But if we have the salvation through Yeshua, we're going to want to do the works. See, we don't do the works to get to salvation. That's what they were doing in the original covenant. But Yeshua came along now, not replacing the works, but giving us the opportunity to have the salvation. But we still got to do the works. It's a life of righteousness that we're called to live. You know, Paul didn't change things. If anyone, the church is changing things today. Paul's message went right along with Yeshua. The church, I'm not going to say all of them, but some of them seem to be the ones guilty of trying to preach a different gospel. The idea of the suffering Messiah is therefore not presented as something Paul invented. According to Luke, Yeshua himself taught his disciples to understand the scriptures this way. Luke 24, verses 44 to 47. He said to them, "This is what I told you, while I was still with you, that all things which are written in the law of Moses, the prophets, the Psalms, concerning me must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds that they might understand the scriptures. He said to them, "Thus it is written, and thus it is necessary for Messiah to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day, and the repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name to all the nations beginning in Jerusalem." Look at everything Yeshua brings together. The Torah, the prophets, Psalms, Messiah suffering and Messiah rising from the dead, repentance and forgiveness of sins. The biblical gospel is not repentance versus the cross. Yeshua puts them all together. The Messiah suffers. He rises. Sin is repent. Forgiveness is proclaimed in his name. And we look in Isaiah 53, which came way before Paul. Verses 4 and 6 of Isaiah 53 says, "Surely he has borne our sickness and carried our suffering, yet we considered him plagued, struck by God, and afflicted. But he was pierced for our transgression. He was crushed for our iniquities. The punishment that brought our peace was on him, and by his wounds we are healed. All we, like sheep, have gone astray. Everyone has turned to his own way, and Yahweh has laid on him the iniquity of all of us." You see, Isaiah speaks about someone who is pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, who bears the consequences connected with the sins of others. Isaiah 53 verses 10 to 12 goes on to say, "Yet it pleased Yahweh to bruise him. He has caused him to suffer. When you make his soul an offering for sin, he will see his offspring. He will prolong his days, and Yahweh's pleasure will prosper in his hand. After the suffering of the soul, he will see the light and be satisfied. My righteous servant will justify many by the knowledge of himself, and he will bear their iniquities. Therefore, I will give him a portion with the great. He will divide the plunder with the strong, because he poured out his soul to death and was counted with the transgressors. Yet he bore the sins of many and made intercession for the transgressors." Isaiah speaks of an offering for sin, bearing iniquities, pouring out his soul to death, and bearing the sins of many. The concept of one suffering on behalf of others was present long before Paul was ever on the scene. This here to me shows me even more the authenticity and the truth in Paul's message. And then we look, what about the prodigal son? Luke 15, verses 17 to 24. "But when he came to himself, he said, 'How many hired servants of my father's have bread enough to spare, and I'm dying with hunger. I will get up and go to my father, and I will tell him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no more worthy to be called your son. Make me as one of your hand servants.' He arose and came to his father, but while he was still far off, his father saw him and was moved with compassion, and ran and fell on his neck and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I have sinned against heaven and in your sight. I am no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, "Bring out the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his hand and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let eat and celebrate. For this my son was dead and is alive again. He was lost and found." Then they began to celebrate. This parable teaches beautifully repentance, returning to the Father, mercy, compassion, and restoration. But the parable is not intended to explain every part of the gospel. It does not discuss the resurrection, the baptism, the Holy Spirit, or the Messiah's return either. And we should not build an entire theology from a particular parable, especially if it's not mentioned in there. Here's another one. What about the tax collector? Luke 18, verses 9 to 14. He spoke also this parable to certain people who were convinced of their own righteousness and who despised all others. Two men went up in the temple to pray. One was a Pharisee and the other one was a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed to himself like this: "God, I thank you that I am not like the rest of men, extortionist, unrighteous, adulterous, or even like this tax collector. I fast twice a week. I give tithes of all that I get." But the tax collector, standing far away, wouldn't even lift up his eyes to heaven, but beat his breast, saying, "God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the other. For everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, but he who humbles himself will be exalted." You see, Yeshua teaches humility, repentance, recognition of sin, and dependence upon Yahweh's mercy. None of this counteracts Yeshua's message, who says, "This is the blood of my new covenant, which is poured out for many for the remission of sins." Both teachings come from Yeshua. Understand, repentance, obedience and repentance is not versus the cross and what Yeshua did. I say this in all my teachings practically. Our Creator has an order and a pattern. And when we try to take things out of that order, that's where we can no longer accomplish His plan for us, which is for a future and a hope, for good and not disaster. When we take things out of order, we are shutting off that light that leads our path. We are shutting it off, and now we're walking in darkness. We've run out of time to finish this audio. If you'd like to see the full message, you can go to our YouTube channel, Torah Life Ministries. Thank you for listening, and for us to stay in this air, thank you for your prayers and your financial support. Have a blessed day. And shalom, shalom.
You've been listening to the Torah Life Ministries with your host, Paul Neeson. If you would like to learn more, please visit TorahLifeMinistries.org or call 917-407-2270. This program is made possible by the generous support of listeners like you. To donate, visit the website at TorahLifeMinistries.org or send your gift to P.O. Box 5503, Lake Worth, Florida, 33466. Thank you for your prayers and support. Torah Life
Ministries. Hi, this is Pastor Steve Camp of Cross Life Church. Faith, family, and freedom. Three pillars worth cherishing, for they are not only the founding principles of our nation, but have their ultimate meaning in biblical Christianity. Cross Life Church is a home church, a household of faith where people are equipped in the Reformed faith, encouraged to love and serve their families, and engaged in the freedom of the gospel and being salt and light to a dying world. So join us every Sunday at 10 a.m. for our worship service and Wednesday evening at 8 p.m. for our midweek Bible study. Let us live boldly in the hands of God, beloved. But remember, don't tell a lost world that Jesus loves them until you're ready to love them too. For more information, call 772-341-7000. 8271.
The views and opinions of programmers heard on WCNO are the responsibility of the participants and producers of the program and may not reflect the views and opinions of the staff or management of WCNO.